Across the country, states that are desperate to prevent opioid addiction are considering medical cannabis as a solution. But some fear the policy is getting ahead of the science. Side Effects Public Media's Christine Herman reports from Illinois, where policymakers are considering the use of marijuana to treat pain.
Larry Lenkart was always a healthy guy. Until one day in 2001, that all changed.
I woke up in the middle of the night in severe pain. I thought it was a really bad flu.
It wasn't the flu. It was diverticulitis, an infection that required four major stomach surgeries followed by years of crippling pain.
You know, I never attempted suicide or anything, but believe me, I thought about it.
After 16 years of taking high doses of prescribed opioids, he wanted off. And last summer, with his doctor's guidance, he says he weaned himself off of Vicodin and began tapering off OxyContin as well. To make the process easier, he smoked marijuana every night.
It would help me forget about it to the point where I wouldn't take that last dose of pain meds.
Lenkart got the drug from a dealer because he couldn't get it legally. He lives in Illinois, which is one of 29 states that has a medical marijuana program, but he couldn't find a doctor who would certify that he had a qualifying condition. Illinois Democratic Senator Don Harmon is trying to help people like Lenkart. He has authored a bill that would allow anyone with an opioid prescription apply for a medical marijuana card.
As we see the horrible damage inflicted by opioid use and misuse, it seems like a very low-cost, low-risk alternative.
And last month, a Cook County judge ordered Illinois officials to expand the state's medical cannabis program to include pain that cannot effectively be treated with other therapies. But the state's public health department is appealing the ruling. A handful of other states, including New York, New Jersey, and Indiana, are looking to initiate or expand their medical marijuana programs to be able to offer patients a safer alternative for treating pain. And the move is backed by more than just personal anecdotes.
I don't think there's any debate that the marijuana is actually helpful for pain. That is one of the strongest supported conclusions from that National Academy of Sciences study.
That's Aaron Weiner, an addiction specialist in Chicago's West Suburbs. He's referring to a 2017 review of the literature that found substantial evidence to support cannabis for treating chronic pain. And yet, Weiner staunchly opposes the use of marijuana as medicine. He fears that a drug that could be helpful for some could fuel addiction in others. Plus, there's so little understanding about the varied cannabis products available.
Are you using an oil? Are you eating it? Are you smoking it or vaping it? These things actually matter in terms of whether or not a substance is efficacious.
I ask Weiner, what about a widely cited 2014 study that found a decrease in fatal opioid overdoses in states that permitted medical cannabis? He says the decline could be explained by other factors, including a push to get doctors to prescribe fewer opioids. In the absence of definitive research, there's disagreement over what should be done. Dr. Leslie Mendoza Temple is a family medicine physician in Chicago's north suburbs. She's helped more than 400 patients get access to medical marijuana and says her approach is harm reduction. If she can't find anything else that will work, she considers medical cannabis.
I can't just throw my hands up and go, well, I got nothing. I'm waiting for 10 years of marijuana research to come to fruition. So good luck. That is not my approach.
For many of Dr. Temple's patients and for Lenkart, cannabis has been a game changer. Lenkart finally got a medical marijuana card after his cancer diagnosis, but he wishes he had had it sooner.
I truly believe that if I would have had access to medical marijuana, let's say 5 years ago, by this point, I would have been off of opioids or very minimal.
The disagreement over medical marijuana boils down to this. Should society wait for more definitive evidence? Or act now to increase access? And that's a question that science cannot answer. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Christine Herman.